Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, September 19th. Merchandising giant Amazon wants to open a second headquarters outside of Seattle, and that has many states scrambling to put together what they hope is a winning bid. Up to 50,000 jobs and $5 billion in infrastructure development are at stake. Bensa Berkland looks at how Colorado can position itself ahead of other states and why some aren't sold on the idea.
For a state to compete, they must have the following: a site that's close to an area with a population of 1 million or more, access to mass transit, and it must be within 45 minutes of an international airport. That's why Colorado officials think they've got a shot.
What makes this one a little bit different is the awareness of Amazon.
J.J. Ament is with the Metro Denver Economic Development Corporation and one of the people helping to spearhead the project.
This has gotten the attention of the whole nation. For that matter, North America. So we're competing internationally.
Colorado has been at the top of several lists since Amazon made its announcement, and the New York Times went so far as to pick Denver as the winning city after conducting its own analysis. The state has at least $10 million set aside as a cash incentive, and local communities have their own money as well. But Ament says Colorado's biggest incentive is a tax credit for hiring high-paid workers.
They're related directly to job growth and whether those are good-paying jobs. So it's really a reward that is credited to a company after they come and actually perform.
That's a far cry from states like Wisconsin, which recently passed $3 billion in special incentives to try to lure Taiwanese electronics company Foxconn. Even with legislative and gubernatorial support for Amazon, state lawmakers aren't able to do that. Republican Representative Paul Lundeen of Colorado Springs says many in his party would oppose any more incentives.
It's about relieving regulatory burden. That's the most attractive thing you can offer to any business person. And the benefit of that is it helps the people who are already here.
But without a big cash payout up front, Colorado will have to rely on other attributes. At 2.4%, the state has the second lowest unemployment rate in the country and a concentration of advanced industries. Michelle Hedwiger is a director at the State Office of Economic Development and International Trade. Her team is leading the overall effort. She says fewer incentives can sometimes be a good thing.
We wouldn't want them to make a short-term decision based on incentives, but be a long-term partner to be involved in the community, invest back in the state.
To stand out, she says Colorado needs to highlight the new international flights out of Denver International Airport and room for future airport expansion. The application will also look at lifestyle similarities to Amazon's other headquarters in Seattle. But some think Colorado is already too crowded. Walking through downtown Denver, the whole city can sometimes feel like a giant construction site, with new buildings and skyrises going up even higher. 28-year-old Andrea Shin grew up in Boulder and now lives in Lakewood.
Seems like more people are coming every day, which is wonderful for the economy, I suppose. But I think we've been a little sideswiped and people are coming a little faster than we can anticipate.
Shin is a chef at a Denver-area restaurant. She says she understands the drive to get Amazon, but also worries about the company's growth, including its recent purchase of Whole Foods, and what that means for other industries and workers.
The idea of headquarters, yes, there will be jobs, but there's also a high level of automation going into those things. So it's like we're creating jobs, but then we're also kind of taking away jobs.
33-year-old accountant Scott Dennis has mixed feelings. On the one hand, he says he worries about mom-and-pop shops.
Colorado has done a really good job of creating and maintaining small businesses, and I think this is one step of kind of diminishing that.
He also sees positives. He moved to Colorado from Indiana.
I mean, the people that will be living and working here for them make a lot of money, you know, so they will reinvest that money back into the community. So I think it's a good company, you know, so that definitely helps.
There are a few other factors that could work against Colorado. The state has one of the lowest per pupil spending rates in the country. Housing in Denver is also getting increasingly expensive. Colorado faces a multi-billion dollar funding shortfall to maintain roads and bridges over the next decade to keep up with ongoing transportation needs. I'm Bente Berkland at the state capitol.
Both Delta and Montrose counties are scheduled to get new sheriffs. According to the Delta County Independent, Delta Sheriff Fred McKee has decided he will not seek another term in office. His current 4-year term ends in January of 2019. Current Undersheriff Mark Taylor announced his intention to run for the office and replace McKee. And according to the Montrose Daily Press, a second lawman in the 7th Judicial District, Montrose County Sheriff Rick Dunlap, will not seek a fourth term. Dunlap made his announcement to a standing ovation at a recent Central Committee meeting of the Montrose County Republicans. At the same meeting, Undersheriff Adam Murdy announced that he will run to replace Dunlap as sheriff. Colorado and the rest of the nation are slowly making economic gains in the wake of the Great Recession. According to the U.S. Census Bureau's recent American Community Survey, fewer kids are living in poverty, and median household incomes are on the rise. Eric Galatis has this story.
The percentage of people living below the federal poverty level in Colorado continues to be below the national average, according to new data from the U.S. Census Bureau. And the state's child poverty rate dropped to just over 13% in 2016, down from nearly 15% the previous year, the lowest it's been since 2003. Bridget Kamenetsky, the lead economic security organizer with the group 9 to 5 Colorado, says overall there's good news in the Bureau's most recent American Community Survey.
Colorado and the country is experiencing very meaningful economic gains. Average households in Colorado has increased their wealth, and we're seeing poverty decrease.
The new stats show Colorado's median household income, meaning half of households earn more and half earn less, is now $65,000. But Kamenetsky notes that in many parts of the state, a lot of those earnings are being soaked up by rising housing costs. The median price of a home in Colorado is almost $110,000 higher than the national figure. Some 160,000 Colorado kids were living in poverty in 2016, about 16,000 fewer than in 2015. Asian, Black, and Hispanic kids saw the biggest declines, but are still far more likely to experience poverty than white kids. Kamenetsky says this progress could be stunted if proposed cuts to proven anti-poverty measures, including SNAP, otherwise known as food stamps, and the Earned Income Tax Credit move forward.
These gains could be easily reversed. As of right now, policies have been proposed by the Trump administration and Congress that would cut vital programs that help Colorado families afford the basics.
The Bureau found Colorado's uninsured rate for kids is basically holding at 4%, meaning some 50,000 children in the state still lack coverage. In 2008, before the Affordable Care Act was implemented, Colorado's uninsured rate for kids was 14%. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.